So I'm kind of a little addicted to Facebook, I gotta admit. It's terrible when I get a weekly report. So I'm not gonna share the number or anything with you, but I go, John, you gotta do better, you know. But in all that scrolling and all the things I like to watch, I have my storm chasers that tells me about the giant storm and all those. I love that one. There are people who post things that they don't know what they're for. And they say, what is this for? You guys, anybody ever? Yeah. I hate all the smart aleck, sarcastic answers. Like, I want to know what it's for. Because I'm, you know, so old and I have certain sets of experiences, there are a bunch of things I go, I know what that is. But there are a lot of things where I go, I'm not sure what that is. And as I'm scrolling down, trying to find an honest answer, which I'm not just going to leave there. I research it and make sure that's true. I just can't take Facebook's word for it. Anybody on Facebook, even if I know you, I might research your answers. I really love to know when what something is for and how it works. And a couple weeks ago, we started a series about the church, and we defined what its foundation is, but we need to talk about how it works or how it's supposed to work. What's it here for? And so actually, this is week two of that series called Church Partnerships, which we'll get to in a minute, but we were interrupted by the Spirit last Sunday and went in a whole different direction. So, and this is also planned in conjunction with our We Care staff being here as we talk about church partnerships. But I wanted to go back and just recap how the church is founded first, because everything is dependent on that. If we don't remember that, things can fall apart. They can dilute and weaken. And that peace that last song talked about, the overwhelming peace of leaning back in His arms, you'll miss it. It'll be missed. So just a little review, Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The rock was Peter's declaration that you, Jesus, are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everything we are comes back to that truth. Jesus is the Christ. If you weren't here, we defined it as, we call it Messiah. That's not enough for us either. It actually means anointed one. And in the context that the people who were hearing Jesus proclaim these things understood that priests and kings were anointed with oil to serve before God, and Jesus came as both the King over all kings and our great high priest, which means we don't have to go to anyone else. He is the one who has founded the church. On this rock I will build my church. What is church? We went back to the Greek word that was used, ekklesia. It's a gathering of the called out ones. So Jesus calls to us. However you came to Him, if you have come to Him, you didn't come because you decided. You came because first He called. Very clear in the word. We can't come to Him before we're called. We were listening to Alistair Begg. We've been listening to that. We have quite a drive coming in, and it's slower when there's more snow, and so we've been listening to some of his sermons, and he said something today on the way in that I'd heard just a few days ago when he talked about our hopelessness and helplessness. What can the dead do to bring themselves back to life? Nothing. And that's the same picture that was painted for us. When we're dead in Christ, that means born separate from Him, even though we were made in the image of God. We can't do anything. And He calls out to us. And when we gather, the gathering of those who are called and respond to the call, that's called the church in the context that Jesus is using. So what? What is it for? Like, it's good to know the name of something. It's good to know a little history. But if you don't know what it does, kind of, so what? And God does not leave us in the so what. He has defined for us that the church has a purpose. If you have a handout, that's the first blank. The church has a purpose. It's not just to be the gathering and assembly of the called out ones. That's what it is, but there's something it's supposed to do. And we find a very concise description of that at the end of the book of Matthew. According to Matthew, those are the last words that Matthew wanted to record of Jesus on earth before he was ascended into heaven, and we're waiting for him to come back and finish all of human history and the things that follow after that. And so Matthew 28, 19 and 20, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then after that, declaration of purpose, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's really important in all of this we talk about. He is with us. He is with you. If you follow him, he is with you in a certain special personal sense. Even if you haven't, though, he is pursuing you. We sang the goodness of God last Sunday, and his goodness is coming after us. I love that word picture, too. So here we have the purpose of the church. The therefore refers to what he said before he said this, and I didn't include it in the scripture, but I want to mention it. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore. So he's calling back people who want to know the purpose of the church to the fact that it is him who has the authority. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon whom the church is formed, and the gates of Hades or hell cannot withstand it. That's our confidence. Man, that's some good stuff, right? You guys okay this morning? You're really, really quiet. It's like, okay, so the culmination of Jesus' time on earth is in that little therefore. All of these 3 years that I made my existence as the Savior known to you. He had grown up in a household just like we did. Maybe not exactly like, but you know, and he went through experiences of human being, and then finally it was his time to announce his ministry, and we find that in the beginning of the Gospels, and here at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, this is the culmination. So it's really important, before we talk about church partnerships, to know what partnership in what. What is the purpose? And here's the purpose. Four things in this small section of Scripture that we're going to just pull out. The first is go. Go. Pursue the journey of being with Jesus. It is not our purpose to be here. This is not our purpose. This is where we encourage. This is where we get built up. We're going to actually talk about that over the next couple weeks. And then the last couple weeks are going to be about the permanence, the enduring quality of the church, both now and forever. But there's a journey to be on. Go. Therefore, go. It's assumed. Many have said this. I heard this early on in my ministry. While you are going, the expectation is the people of God will be going with on this journey. As important as it is for us to be here, and Hebrews 10:25 reminds us not to forsake the assembling together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage all the more as you see the day approaching. That's the end day, the day that Jesus returns. The Bible says it's really important that we're here, but we're only here for going, so that we can go. Our purpose is not to meet together, it's to go. So the first question you have to ask yourself, am I going? When you leave the church, is that the last taste of Jesus that you have in your week, or the most, the strongest taste? We're supposed to be going with this togetherness, with the called out sense as we go. That's one thing you can think about. Second thing he says is make disciples. Go and make disciples. While you're going, make disciples. Now, discipleship is an interesting subject. We talk about formal discipleship formation, if you will. It is certain classes or ministries that are aimed at making disciples. Sometimes we don't even, though, bake or boil down what that word means. It can mean so many things to so many different people. So you know me, I'm pretty simple-minded, and I like to get down to the bottom of things and keep it simple so I don't get confused. A disciple is a student invested in his teacher. There's a relationship, student and teacher. That's what disciple means. It's not magic or mysterious. Go and make students. What are students doing? They're looking to someone else to learn. You've done it when you go to college. When you guys go for your certification training, you're doing the same thing. You're taking a class or taking something, information from somebody else. You need to know what it is. We do it in our jobs. We do it probably certainly not formal in a formal sense, but in our own families. When Shauna has another child in a few weeks, there's going to be that child's going to learn what it's like to be in a family. It's very common. It's very natural. And somehow in the church, it's been made into something so formal and like optional that we're afraid of it. You guys know, regulars, I took a 10-month course called the Bonhoeffer Project, and it is about discipleship. I have a baton, and that baton symbolizes that someone who has gone and made disciples has helped train me, and I take the baton to go. So it kind of combines those two things, the go purpose of our journey and then make disciples. It's simply that. Jesus said 21 times in 12 different conversations, follow me. Follow me. He said in one place, if anyone wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. A disciple follows. That's Jesus' call, is for people to follow. This kind of bleeds into the third thing. We have go. That's our primary purpose, is go. With what we have, go. With what we gain, go. To make disciples, students of. Now, the third thing is baptize. Baptism is acknowledgement that you are following. In this sense, it is in following Jesus. Peter replied in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's at the beginning of the church right there. Acts chapter 2 is when this declaration that Jesus would make a church that would withstand the gates of Hades, when it came together, it was that, in Acts chapter 2. So baptism acknowledges the following, and the fourth thing in that that verse, it's really all contained in the one verse, is teaching obedience, which means learning what following looks like, then doing it. So in one sense, when we pull them apart, you can't just really separate them. They all go together, or we lose the sense of what our purpose is about. And whenever a church, so a gathering of the called out ones of Jesus, loses sight of this package of purpose, we begin to stray off into the political realm, into the being a business, becoming entertainment, many things where churches can go wrong instead of remembering what it is all about. So we go, we make disciples, and those disciples are made of Jesus, and we baptize them. So a little out of order in the text to how that works out in our life. But it is Jesus that we follow. It is the disciples that are not made disciples of us, they're made disciples of Jesus. And when we teach obedience as a church, don't you hate that word, obedience? Right? Like, you're gonna when your boss is gone, you're gonna do things they don't want you to do. When the cat's away, the mice will play, right? That's a common I saw somebody shaking their head. Some of you guys are good. So I remember when I worked at Tube Fab and the shop manager was gone. This little guy with a Napoleon complex, and he'd get right in your personal space, right in your face, screaming and getting all red. I had to use all my resources not to laugh in his small little tiny face. But all of the people in the shop just did, when he was gone, it was night and day. Okay, I'm getting a little off track. Anyway, that's why we need a new pastor. We're teaching obedience, which means we look at Jesus and we see his life. We don't just listen to his words. And that's the beautiful marriage of who Jesus was in our life. We have authority figures we know. They tell us one thing and they live another way. We all know. You know. It doesn't take long to be around somebody when you go, yeah, talk. They don't really live this. Jesus lived it. The Bible's clear in saying that he faced temptation as we face it, but he did never sin. He was kind to people who were mean and even killed him. What did he say on the cross to those who put the nails in? Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know the magnitude. They don't know who they're dealing with. Forgive them. So in making disciples, we're charged that we will learn the ways of the kingdom. We'll learn here's the thing. We don't learn a list that was prepared for us. We learn the nature of God, because how he declares truth and danger to us doesn't flow out of arbitrary decisions he made, like when we do pros and cons. Do you do that? Like when you're going to a new job or thinking of going to a new job, well, this is good and that's not so good, and so I'm going. That's not what God did. What God always did when he made us in his image was, my character and nature are going into you. The way the world works according to him, which is the only way that it really works, though we can work the ways that people tell us to work, but you're always dissatisfied, right? You're always wounded. You never have enough. God is saying, I just want you to receive my whole character and nature. It's not arbitrary. That's the way the world is. And when we say, when Jesus says that the purpose of the church is to teach obedience, it means look at Jesus, listen to his words, follow his counsel, follow what he did, look in a mirror, see yourself, look at him. So you see him here. This is the biggest place you see him. This is the most comprehensive place you see him, though we see him in each other, but we have to know that we fail sometimes. Not this, the recorded word inspired by God. Not everything in it is holy, because it tells the story of mankind, and we're not very holy often. And so we look in the mirror of who we are. We look in the mirror of who Jesus is, and we go, there is a difference. I need to give up something of this mirror where I see myself, and I need to make it become like this, like Jesus. That's the process that's going on. It goes over and over and over in the church. It's that adjustment. This is the mission for the church, to take people who are separated from God, as Alistair Begg said, and someone else, what can the dead do to bring themselves alive? Nothing. We're born into this world separate from Christ, and he's calling us to acknowledge he is the master and the savior, the one who paid the penalty for our sin, and we start following him. That's the purpose of the church that Jesus formed on this statement that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Hades, the gates of Hades, which represents death, will not overcome it. Okay, so now we get more to the partnerships issue. It's very important. Like, you have to pray through this. It's not easy. We have an enemy who wants to snatch away the truth from us all the time, and so that's why we strive. That's why when we fail, we confess, always to God and often to one another, because we sin against each other too. The purpose of the church has many paths, and I call those partnerships. And we're celebrating a partnership this morning, but I don't want to get too ahead of myself. One time in Mark chapter 9, Jesus and his disciples were going through their journey of being disciples. They were disciples of him in a different way than we are, because he was physically present, and they lived with him, and they walked with him, and they went everywhere with him. Sometimes he called just a few to go and witness something miraculous and wonderful. Most of the time it was all 12. And we get to this place where they're having a conversation between their own personal ministries and what they're doing to help mankind, to make disciples. Teacher, said John, we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. Amen. We need this, and we need it especially when we're concentrating on the fact that the church is a calling together, the ecclesia, not church, from the German word which means building. That's where it all got crossed, if you were here a couple weeks ago. We tend to start looking at the called out ones that we know as the ones who have it right. And the people who aren't called out in the same place or same manner, perhaps, of us, as not being with us. And that's detrimental to the growth of the kingdom, and Jesus pointed it out here. This man driving out demons, there's no context. We don't know his name. We don't know his background. We don't know he was a Jew. Probably was, but we don't know. We don't know anything about him. The disciples just pointed out, look, they're doing what you did. And they said, that's bad. We got to stop him. Jesus said, no, don't stop him. He's doing kingdom work. He's a partner in the kingdom. And we don't know how deep, how far. That's not our business. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to go and make disciples, teach them to follow Jesus, baptize them when they have agreed that they want to follow Jesus as that public declaration that they have become a disciple of Christ. So this is a good baseline definition of partnerships in ministry or church partnerships. What can it be in formal ways? It can be different denominations. Now we have to be careful. The church has to be founded on Christ as the Son of God. That is the rock upon which the church is founded. We know some denominations do not do that. I'm only going to mention one because I don't think it's beneficial, but it's helpful to see. The Jehovah's Witnesses use the name of Jesus, but they don't believe he is the Son of God. You see how the deception can grow. So we're careful, but other denominations that perhaps do worship different than ours, do things a little different, ordain pastors a little different, they're still partners. They're doing the work of God. It's not for us to say stop them from doing it. They're partners. The big church that's built down the road, I can say that in any community, by the way, and every church I've been a pastor of had that church, and they go, the big church down the road, they're just shallow, and they have a bunch of people, but they're not really going deep. Well, guess what Jesus would say? They're partners. They're doing something different. Are they founded on Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God? They're partners. Don't be mad at them. There are parachurch organizations that are formal expressions of ministry and church, like Samaritan's Purse. We didn't just get through, but in November we finished our OCC shoebox season. That's not a church. That's Samaritan's Purse. It's an organization. They're a partner. That's easy for us to see. In Better Hands, a ministry of a denomination that Jim and Debbie and Stephanie have a huge part of, they're a formal expression of the church. There's lots of ways that we have partnerships. There are also some informal partnerships. When a called out one sees the neighbor can't get out of their driveway and just needs a little push, and they go over and give them a push, that's part of showing the love of Christ, which is the going. You got to go from your house to theirs. And the cultivating the atmosphere that the Holy Spirit uses to bring people in as he calls them. Little things like that. Having a home Bible study. When you're I was standing in line at the plasma donation place a couple months ago. And this old guy, tall old guy, that's funny coming from me. Now I don't know anymore if they're older than me or not. But to me, he was an old guy, you know. And he said, hey, he was looking at his phone. He said, I got to tell you a joke, and he started to tell me this off-color joke. Now, I could turn and say, hey, I'm a pastor. Why are you telling me that kind of joke? I just didn't laugh. I just didn't laugh. I wasn't unkind. That's part of going. That's part of showing who Jesus was. Jesus wouldn't have poked his eye out or anything. Jesus might have done something more than not laugh, but that's part of it too, standing up for truth, backing away from the argument when somebody is accusing you of things rightfully or when it's not true. Loving your enemies. That's all part of a church partnership. The called out ones going and making disciples and baptizing and teaching them to follow Jesus. It doesn't happen in an instant for many people. It still does for some. Like the Lord speaks through you or through a song or through a sermon or through a circumstance, and they go, they fall to their knees, they surrender their lives to Jesus, who paid our penalty on the cross for the sin we all bear, and their lives are different. But that's not common. What's common is there's process and expression and kindness and grace and love in different ways, and then someone comes to the place where they realize, I'm following Jesus now, and they're a disciple. So the church is founded on Christ Jesus, the anointed one, the only Son of God. And he gave us a purpose to go, to make disciples, and that is disciples of Jesus, to baptize them, acknowledging that they're following, and to teach. And by the way, the teaching is lifelong. You never get to the end. It's good when you're, you know, in school and you get your degree and you feel like you're done with that, but there's no done here. And it's beautiful. I'm in this wrestling. You guys, regulars, have shared this road rage thing I've been going through, but I'm in something else now. I'm not even going to tell you except to say I am astounded at how much self is still here. Doggone it. But he's faithful and working, and I'm in this place where I'm going, this is really hard, and part of me wants to not wrestle with it, but don't stop. And even over the last 2 days, I see him working. It's just worth it. It's beautiful. It's a change, and it helps me to help others, and it helps me to go, and it's just all that stuff. The purpose has many paths and many partners. And today we honor one of our partners, and that is WeCare. That's number three. One of these paths is WeCare. They are a direct partner. In some senses, they are a formal partner of us, because at the building of this building, it was decided, as you guys know, I'm only telling a story I heard because I wasn't here, built this building to house a daycare. And it transitioned from a few of our church ladies to now this. We just passed over $1 million budget for WeCare. Yeah, it's a big enterprise. But the purpose of them is a very biblical purpose. And I'm sure there are people involved in WeCare, as they are in church when people come and assemble, that don't know Jesus in a personal way and aren't purposely invested in this purpose. But they're all involved in this purpose too. Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And that focus of WeCare is the children and their parents. And by the way, they don't just watch kids. They invest in parents, help struggling families in their own budget and the way they've set up things, as well as what they do in partnership with us. Something that didn't make your handout, because the handout was already printed before I felt led to include it, but it's on the screen, Matthew 18:5-6, "And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." That's a powerful statement. They're welcoming and shepherding Jesus. That's you got to think about that for a while. "But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Okay, so don't worry, I'm not aiming that at you guys. That sounds pretty harsh. But Jesus is making a point here about how important it is that we do things that are good for children. And the purpose of WeCare is not that our staff make buku bunches of money, though we want them to make as much as we can allow them to make. We want them to be competitive salaries. It's a hard world to live in, as you know, on single income, single one-person income. And, you know, so we want that. But that's not why they do it. It's for those children. There's so many things I could say about this. But one, they welcome kids into a place of safety and love. And probably a bunch of those kids live in a place where they're not safe and they're not expressions of love, and sometimes maybe not even love, whether it's expressed or not. And they're teaching good things. I love when I become aware of a song that's playing and I go, oh, I know that song. Like, it's an old, like, Jesus loves the little children kind of song. It's a gospel song. It's something that I heard in church a long time ago. Whether everybody knows the title or what's in it, you know, I just know. I remember it was a couple years ago when I walked past a room and heard the Lord's Prayer. good things. They're teaching them how to get along, but they're also being frustrated by trying to teach them how to get along, and they keep coming into work. And we want to celebrate them. That's what this Sunday is really about. And we recognize them as full partners. They're not the business side of LFM. They're not, I don't know what else to say about that, except they are full partners. So number four is lean into partnerships. So you have to recognize what your partners are, and you need to lean into them. As Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. So this is twofold today. It is an expression of appreciation to WeCare and what they do, and it is a call for us as the church and them to be working together always. Because you know that's been primary in my mind for almost 6.5 years. And I pray it will be primary in the mind of whoever comes after, because it has to be cultivated, because we're all human. And we tend to gather in our defined circles, and I'm not saying any of those are bad or good. I'm just saying that's what we do. We're human beings. Actually, there's a good part of that. We need it. We need some commonalities. We need that help. We need that encouragement to work together. So there's a question on the bottom of your handout, one on the screen. How can I contribute to my partners? Now, I want you to think about that in really broad terms. First of all, who is your partner in your neighborhood? Who's your partner in your community? Who's your partner in your family? Who's your partner in your church? Who's your partner? How can you contribute to the good of your partners? That's one. The other thing is, we want to contribute to our partners, WeCare, this morning in a more direct and tangible sense. So I'm going to ask them all to come up. Come on up. Not going to grill you, but I would like each of you to tell me or speak into the microphone what your name is. Somebody write these. There's only one person whose name I don't know, so that's pretty good for me. So first, just name and what your role is, WeCare.
I'm Gabby, and I am lead of 4-year-old preschool.
I'm Emily. I do lead of Latchkey and Gabby's assistant in 4-year-old preschool.
I'm Christina, and I'm the office administrator.
I'm Shauna. I'm the program director.
I'm Mackenzie. I'm the assistant teacher of Latchkey, and I kind of float to every room.
Wendy, the lead teacher in Movers and the bus driver.
I'm Anna. I'm the assistant teacher in Movers and Shakers.
Anna, did you say?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know your name.
My daughter.
Oh, I did not know that either. It's her daughter. It's Wendy's daughter. Did you hear that? Shauna is getting ready to go out on maternity leave. And is it you two or you two? It's Gabby and Christina who are kind of filling those gaps, so that's extra needs. What we want to do is pray for these staff people. It's what we want to do. That's what we're up there. Is there, I've done interviews with Shauna especially. I'm not going to scare anybody, but is there anything you want to say to us as WeCare staff?
Thank you.
Oh, okay. They got it. No. I know. So anyway, they have a thankless job. I am not geared to children, as you regulars know. And here I have been with a constant presence of children for 6.5 years. And I just can't imagine. I'm not here nearly as long as some of these people. And for them to be sane, for them to say, I'll come back to this building on a Sunday, that's pretty big. So we appreciate you, and I hope we can foster and deepen our communication with one another and the needs that we have. And I hope you feel you can, I want you, you should come to us. It's going to be not her and I us soon, but there are other us's, and you know some people in here, you know, that nothing would be left untalked about that needs to be talked about. You are our partners, and we are your partners. And we have a deep heart for you and the kids and their parents to know that Jesus we know. And I don't know if you do or not. I don't know all of your individual stories, but that's what we pray for all the time, that you find the heart of the one who called the little children to come to him. It makes everything different. And anyway, so if anyone would like to come up and join me to lay hands on these ladies, it's just, you know, we have your permission. Yeah. Okay, you have to do that in the culture today. And then when we're done praying, we'll be done with the service, and we're going to be doing chair movings because we have the potluck. And if you guys have enough for one or two, would you let a couple of our church people sit at your tables instead of just, you know, and so we can just talk and get to know you a little better. We'd appreciate that. Lord, thank you for us being not alone, like you would come to one group of people in one building in one town and say, all the responsibility of sharing my story in the kingdom is on you, and you better measure up. We know that's not who you are. We are thankful to know that when you came here, when you taught for those three ministry years, when you were beaten and gave up your life and were nailed to a cross, you didn't have some legal or obligation sense that you had to do something for the idiot people who are away from you. It has always been the love expressed in creation and your desire to be able to walk with us face to face. We know that day is coming, those of us who know your word, that day is coming when you will no longer be hidden in any sense, but will walk in your presence. And so every day you are looking to express and radiate your presence into our lives. And Lord, we thank you for these We Care staffers, and we pray that they would feel the extra from you and from us, that this isn't just a job. I know there are probably a few people who come in and come out on summer break or who knows what, that feel like it's a stopgap, it's getting me to the next semester or the next thing, there will be a growing sense that there's a reward that comes from you to them that unfortunately we're not able to equal financially. Give them great patience. We pray a blessing and protection on their families because they have their own families, and here they're ministering to other people's families on a daily basis. And Father, give them what they need to do their work well, not by my judgment, not by any external source, but by you saying, minister to these kids and minister to these families. We pray specifically for the remainder of the weeks of Shauna's pregnancy and pray they would be uneventful and a great delivery and a celebration when that baby comes into this world, a son. And be over all of the We Care. They're a representative group here, but there are many more. We pray that as they walk these halls and go into classrooms, they would know that this is here because you are the Lord and you established the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and we have purpose, and you're here to fuel that purpose every moment. So Lord, bless the food that we will shortly eat and help us to be in partnership as we use that today and in the days to come, that we would see and walk in your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.